Thank you. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel comes right before 2 Samuel in most of your Bibles, right after Ruth. 1 Samuel, the first chapter, and we'll begin in the 9th verse there. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 9. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And now down in verse 20. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all of his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, touch our hearts, draw us closer to Jesus. Father, certainly bless the lives of the mothers who are listening. And Father, challenge the lives of all of us to come closer to you. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have had a good mother. You may have had a bad mother. But you know, you would not be here without your mother. In today's sinful world, there are certainly, sadly, all types of mothers. There are mothers who have deserted their own children. It's unthinkable. There are women who have hurt their children, and in some cases, there are women who have taken the lives of their children. All mothers have made mistakes. All mothers need forgiveness. All mothers have regrets. Now, those phrases could be said of all of us, not just about mothers. But today we're not going to pick out apart the negatives of people's lives and all that they have done wrong. Today we want to honor what mothers have done right. Mothers who have been a blessing to their children. And we want to honor the best of mothers. We have been blessed by mothers. We challenge all mothers and everybody else to draw close to Jesus, because that's where the victory lies. There have been many who have said great things about mothers. John Quincy Adams, our 6th president, said, all that I am, my mother made me. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. The great evangelist Dwight Moody said, all that I ever accomplished, I owe to my mother. Napoleon said, let France have good mothers, and she will have good sons. Now, if you've been here for any time, you know that I am thankful for my mother. I was blessed to have a great little mother. My mother was not yet, not 5 foot tall, but she could corral 3 headstrong boys with the best of them. She was one of the strongest people I have ever known. Just the snap of her fingers could make things happen around our house. And if it didn't happen, the pinch of those fingers certainly would pull it about. She knew how to laugh. Ladies, let me tell you, the laughter of a mother can bring joy to a household like little else. I can still recall the laughter of her heart and how she would brighten the house. The poet said, They say that man is mighty. He governs land and sea. He wields a mighty scepter on lower powers than he. But mightier power and stronger man from his throne has hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. You know, people have lost what is really important, but 600 university students were asked the question, what is the most beautiful word in the English language? And 422 of those students said that greatest word, that most lovely word, the most beautiful word is mother. Theodore Roosevelt said, the most precious asset that the United States has is her mother's. Far more important is the task of a mother in rearing a child than that of scientist or businessman or statesman. A little girl kind of summed it up. She was in a church program. Her mother had worked with her to get her verse memorized. She had it in her mind like we do for our Awanas. She got to the podium, she looked out and she saw the people and she froze. She knew every word, her mother had taught her every word, but she couldn't say a single word. She looked up and on the very first row there sat her mother. And her mother, like many moms, came to the rescue. She mouthed the words, "I am the light of the world." The little girl shook her head yes and then boldly said, "My mom is the light of the world." You and I know that Jesus is the light of the world, but that light is only reflected in most of us because of our mothers and our mothers' encouragement to turn to Jesus. 1 Samuel 1 and 2 tells us of a godly mother, of a woman that is one of the great women of the Bible. She was not a perfect woman, as no one is, but she was a dedicated woman. Her name, Hannah. Now, like many of you, Hannah had a dilemma in verse 2. And he had, that is Echonai, had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. You don't get very far in the book of 1 Samuel to find out there was a problem in a particular family. And there was a problem in the lady Hannah's life. Verse 2 says, Elkanah had two wives. Well, we know there's a problem right there. Someone said the problem with having two wives is you get two mother-in-laws. I had a good mother-in-law, so I don't know anything about that. But someone said that. Hannah had a problem. God didn't intend for the home to be made up of multiple wives or multiple husbands. God's plan from the start is one man, one woman for life. That's God's desired plan. That's God's chosen plan. But you know, there's a difference between God's intended will and God's allowed will. There are things that happen that God allows because of the sinfulness of man, and God allows it to be able to redeem man. When you break God's intended will or chosen will, then you will have to live under the consequences of God's allowed will. Hannah has a dilemma. She's in a marriage that God never intended, and in that there is difficulty. Now, not only was she in a polygamous marriage, the Bible tells us the other wife didn't get along with her. Verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her relentlessly. Did you know that there are some women that just can't get along with each other? It's just true. I read a story about two old women on a train. They had been arguing for hours on whether or not to open a window. One of the women said, "I'm going to die of pneumonia if you open that window." The other woman continually said, "I'm going to suffocate if you don't open that window." In that little train car, there was one poor man. He listened to them for hours. Finally, he got up and got the conductor's attention. He said, "Would you please come in here and open that window until that one gets pneumonia, and then shut it till that one suffocates, and then maybe I'll get some peace." Well, Peniah did not get along with Hannah. And Hannah was troubled because Peniah had children, but Hannah was not able to have children. There are few things that will trouble a woman more than wanting a child and not being able to have a child. And to make matters worse, Peniah would rub in the fact, rub salt in the wounds because Hannah did not have a child. That made things hard for her, worse for her. She was berated. She felt less of a person because she couldn't have children. To make matters worse, her husband wasn't attentive. Her husband was not sensitive. Elkanah is the image of a guy that says the wrong thing at the wrong time. In fact, you'll get this. Let me just read it for you. She is grieving. She's heartbroken. She can't have a child. What does he say? Verse 8. "Then said Elkanah," her husband, "why do you weep? And why can't you eat? And why are you grieved?" You ready for this? "Am I not better for you than 10 sons?" Yeah, he actually said that. Don't I make up for all the hurts? Don't I make up for all the pains? Isn't it worth it just to be with me? You know, he is fortunate that she didn't have an iron skillet. I believe he would have been wearing it. Hannah had a dilemma. Most of us have a dilemma, but perhaps you're in a dilemma now. If you're in a dilemma, you need to follow this woman's practice. You need to do exactly what she did. You need to come before the Lord with your difficulty. Listen, bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. All of us can learn from that. All of us need to do that. We see Hannah's desire in verse 11. "And she vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me, and will give unto your husband, your handmaid, a son, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor touch his head.'" Now, she wanted a long-haired boy, but the no razor was a fact that she was going to give him to God's service. And in God's service, he would not cut his hair. Hannah lived in a bad situation. She had a problem in her home. There were problems in her health. There were problems in her culture. She lived in a day when all of Israel was turning away from God. She lived in a day that could be today in America. She lived in a day when the culture was turning against God. Our culture is collapsing. Our culture is ruling out God's principles. Our culture is trying to destroy the home. Our culture is robbing from people the very faith that they need to cling to. Her answer was to go before God in prayer. Now, Elkanah did a lot wrong as a husband, but he did one thing right. He took his family to church. May I say, parents need to take their children to church? I heard a parent just say to me not too long ago, "You know, I don't bring my child because I'm going to let my child grow up and decide whether they want to come or not." You know, as a parent, you set a lot of rules. You don't give them that choice about school. Why would you give them that choice about church? She was so intent with reaching God, She had to reach out to God in prayer. She didn't care who saw her. She didn't care who was watching. She didn't care what they thought about her. When she got to the church, she got to her knees. She was praying to God. She went to God's house because she knew that's the only place she could turn to. It is very common for people to withdraw from church when they find themselves in difficulty. It's kind of like they don't want anybody to know. They don't want anybody looking at them. They don't want to be a spectacle. Well, if you really want God's attention, don't draw away from God's house. The very time that you would draw away is the time you need to be there. You need to be faithful to God's house when things are going good and when things are going bad. And where else are you going to turn when you're in a dilemma? Who else is going to help you but God? Hannah did the right thing. You need to do the right thing. Listen, if we're going to make a change in America, if we're going to have a hope of, we've got to wrestle the nation back to God. And if that's going to happen, it's not going to happen by people staying away from church. Those of us who know God have to be willing to stand for God and have to be willing to come before God, and we need to do that together as a statement of how we love our God. And in doing so, draw others to Him. This mother headed to church to pray. She didn't care who saw her. She poured out her heart to God. America needs church attending, God fearing moms and dads and young people who will lift up their families in prayer to God, who will lift up their nation to God, who will lift up the legislation of the nation to God, who will be faithful to God's house in good times or in bad times, and who will set the trend of being faithful. One of the greatest mothers I know is my wife. Becky prayed for our children before we had children. And Becky prayed for our children's mates long before they were old enough to think about a mate. And you know what? She continues to pray for them day in and day out now. I am sure other mothers do likewise, but I can tell you about this one because I've seen her in prayer. If your mother is a praying woman, you are blessed. We are living in a sad day. You know, most moms don't pray. Most moms don't pray because they don't know God. Most moms that do know God are away from God and they can't pray. If you think you can ignore God and His church and then have God come running when your child is in trouble and you decide to pray without trusting God, without giving your life to God, without being devoted to His will, you are mistaken. A mother out of the will of God will not have her prayers answered. Hannah prays so intently, so devoutly. She doesn't make a sound, but her lips are moving. There's a priest that's watching her. Oh, he's got his eyes on her. He's seen her kind of as a spectacle. She's perhaps crying. She's pouring out her heart to God. And this priest, this priest doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. And he begins to think she's drunk. In fact, he chides her for coming into God's house inebriated. And Hannah tells him he's wrong. Hannah tells him she's praying from her heart. She had not touched wine. By the way, that's a good principle for a mom. Don't touch alcohol. Then Eli answered her. He gets it. He understands she's reaching out to God. He understands that her heart is pure. And in verse 17, then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace. The God of Israel, may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked." You know what Eli does? Eli starts praying her prayer for her. Eli joins her in prayer. Let me tell you, that's one of the great things about having a Sunday school class. That's one of the great things about having other people that care about you. When you pray, they pray with you. They join you in that prayer. when she went to God's house, when she brought her burden to the Lord, it changed things. Listen, if you are overcome with grief and you're overcome with heaviness, you need to take it and you need to give it to the Lord. You need to follow Hannah's example. This is a woman of great faith. Listen, she had been so worried before. The Bible tells us she couldn't eat. She couldn't sleep. She was stressed out. She was sad. But when she came and prayed, she gave it over. She went down crying. She got up with a smile on her face. She went down in heaviness. She got up as light as a feather. Verse 18 says, so the woman went her way, listen to this, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. How could she turn like that? Because she believed God. She had such faith that God was going to take care of things. She gave the weight to God, and it fell off of her. We need to have that kind of faith and prayer. We need to go to God, and we need to leave it with the Lord. The Bible says, bring your burdens to the Lord, leave them there. In Psalms 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. If you're in a dilemma, if you're facing a difficulty, if you're facing a hardship, today, bring that need to the Lord and leave it with Him. We see Hannah's dedication in verse 20. She meant what she said to God. In verse 20, wherefore, it came to pass when the time was come about that Hannah had conceived, that she bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Verse 22, I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and abide forever. Hannah was determined to do exactly what she committed to God to do. My friend, we need to start doing what we committed to God to do. If there was a point when you gave your heart to Jesus, there was a point you said, Jesus, I'm going to serve you. If there was a point you said, Jesus, I am yours. I want to follow you. It's time to start doing what we said we would do. It's time to ask God to forgive us where we have failed and then step up and do exactly what we promised God we would do. She had committed herself to God. She had committed her child to God. And now before God, she follows through. She taught the young child the things of God. Hannah realized that all children are a blessing from God, and the greatest thing that you can do for a child, the greatest thing she could do for her son, was to raise him to be devoted to God, to raise him to believe in God, to raise him to pray to God. In verse 27 and 28, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have given him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he will be the Lord's. The result of Hannah's dedication was, the Bible says, Samuel worshiped the Lord there. Your children are more likely to follow what you do than what you say. Your children are more likely to follow the Lord if you set the pattern for following the Lord. Your children are more likely to show up in church if you set the pattern of being in church. Your children are more likely to pray if you set the pattern for praying. They are more likely to take God's word if you set the pattern for taking God's word. Today we need moms of faith and faithfulness, and we need dads that are the same, and we need individuals that will give our hearts to the Lord, that will follow the Lord, that will stand up for the Lord, and that will serve the Lord. We need to lead others to Jesus. And certainly that is true of our families, but it is true for everybody we meet. Hannah was willing to take her burdens to the Lord. Hannah had faith to leave her difficulties with God. And then Hannah was willing to follow through, bring her child to the Lord and leave him there. Trust the Lord for him. and trust the Lord for everything else in our life. Whatever is going on in your heart and life today, trust the Lord with it. Give it to Him. He can give you the victory. What was the result of Hannah's faithfulness? She was just a mother, praying mother, faithful mother. Because of her dedication, Samuel led the entire nation of Israel back to God. There is no telling what can be done through you being faithful. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, right now I ask that you would move within our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, certainly if there is anyone here that does not know Jesus, I pray that they would come to know Jesus, they would surrender to Jesus. Father, for believers, Father, that today we would rededicate our lives to you, that we would surrender to you, that we would give everything to you, Father. For those, Father, that are in trouble, that are in dilemmas, Father, that in this very moment, Father, we would give those things to you and we would leave them with you and we would trust you with them. Father, use our lives as we dedicate ourselves to you to change those around us and to change this world. Thank you for what you're going to do in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, would you come?